By Grab Thaw's hammer, I will avenge you. Terrible.
Start it over. Do it again.
Just go with it.
Just don't do the terrible. Don't judge yourself. Don't call yourself out.
No, but it's fun if you do the terrible.
No. Don't
All right.
And it was terrible.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And action. By Grab Thaw's hammer, I will avenge you.
That's right. We watched Galaxy Quest this week on The Movie Gap, the podcast that has you scream. Welcome to The Movie Gap. I'm your host, Chase Austin, and as always, the lizard man with one eye, one covered in an eye patch, and he's like really using some terms that maybe somebody from space shouldn't know, but also knows about actors. So like, what do they know? But they didn't know that it's an acting thing. But I will say it's all practical effects because Bryce is here in person, and that person is Bryce Perkins.
Oi, let me see that fall. Let me get a woohoo. Oh, sorry. Were we recording?
Yes,
I'm so sorry.
Recording.
Sorry about that. I was just jamming Cisco. So what people don't know about the Thong song, the
Cisco
absolute classic 1999 smash hit, greatest recording of all time, is that he actually recorded different versions for different markets, much like the Beatles did with I Want to Hold Your Hand and She Loves You, how they did a German version. He actually did a British version. And that's the one I was just listening to. And you notice that he started with the what would you call it? A colloquialism in England? Oi. And then, and maybe that's the wrong word, but I don't know what that word means.
I don't know what that word means.
But he also added, a woohoo, in honor of Blur's song too, who is a very popular British band.
Okay, yeah. Well,
we start recording? Because I was just listening to that. Did we start recording?
Yeah, we actually did. And in fact, I don't know about colloquialisms.
Yeah, what does that even mean?
Now, I will say we might have someone who does know.
Are you kidding me right now?
I'm not kidding.
Oh, this is
right
embarrassing because he's going to judge my accent. He's going to judge my Alan Rickman at the beginning,
yes,
too, probably.
Probably will. No, it is not fake British. But actual Bostonian Ed Ball.
Okay, really? We have another British person. There's actually more than one of them on the planet?
There's more than one.
Okay.
All the way from across the pond, from the Film vs. Film podcast, it's our friend Martin. Good morning, afternoon, or night.
Oh.
I don't know where it is over there.
It is good evening. Hi, guys. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for joining us.
So I was on Film vs. Film, and I won.
Somehow.
I talked him into the fact that Spinal Tap is better than The Princess Bride, only because I'm so loud.
Which I think is fair. I think you can't not laugh a million times over with that film.
Yeah.
We certainly turned it up to 11 with that one.
Yeah.
Well, I only turn it up to
11. Yeah, he keeps it at 11. Yeah.
So much so that I like get off the mic sometimes so that I have to be louder and Bryce yells at me.
Yeah.
He's like, keep it at 11. What on the mic, mate?
Yeah. Right. Right.
I must say, you're killing it with the British accent.
It's Tuesday, isn't it?
Right. To be fair, though, because, you know, I'm sure anytime you're talking to an American that we can't help it, right? We can't help but do the British thing. Can you do an American? I can give you a chance to do the American accent if you want, if that's something you have in your bag of tricks.
No, I want you to pause. You don't have to do it right now, but like by the end of the episode, I want you to do a southern accent. I think that's way more fun.
Yeah.
Like, American, like, who really cares? But, yeah. Like, you know, Bryce and I probably don't think we have Southern accents, but I bet we do. Yeah.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
I might have a go at doing that.
There we go. It's fun.
I'm not saying our most recent guests were Southern, but there we go.
Oh, nice.
For our next podcast coming up next week, but oh well, I'm doing it now.
So where can we find your podcast, by the way?
Yeah, well, you can find our podcast wherever you get this one. It's on any podcatching device you can find. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Yeah, we're on social media. We're on, you know, Tickety Talk, X. Oh, whoa, I did call it X. Twitter, sorry. Facebook, Instagram, all that jazz, yeah.
And it's the Film Verse Film podcast, correct?
That is correct, sir, yes.
So what is, for those of our listeners who have not chosen to follow me over there and give the old movie gap bump to your podcast yet, we're going to get it now. What is your podcast about? How would you describe it?
So we have a look at what's coming out of the cinema, and I pick a subject related to that cinema release, and I get a guest on and they can pick a film around that subject, and then I pick a film to challenge that, and we talk about both movies in terms of directing, screenplay and acting. We score it out of 10 and then see who wins. And obviously, Chase, you were on the Legends episode 1, Rob Reiner, and that was a lot of fun. This is Spinal Tap versus The Princess Bride. And of course, I let you win that one. That was fun.
I really do think I won.
Like a true gentleman.
Listening back, I think I won just because I'm louder.
I think you were going to think you won no matter what, Chase. I think that's pretty much how. I think that's how that operates up there.
Yeah, it's the, you know, it's the brass Texan in me.
Well, I would say I would actually say, like, as far as actual films go, if I, because I missed the episode. Which I apologize to all of our
Bryce doesn't even listen to this podcast.
Yeah, that's true. But well, except
not
for
even,
when I'm
not even when he's here.
I get an I'm really just doing what I'm still are we recording? I'm still jamming British Thong Song, by the way.
We are still
recording. Did we start recording?
We have started recording.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, we're not imaginary right now. We are real.
Okay. Cuz I mean, I can't get enough.
Yeah, we're not holograms.
Okay.
So I was confused.
If I
hit myself, I am it's real.
Okay. Yeah. But then again, that's exactly what a hologram would say.
I know, right?
So how do I know?
Possibly,
have you seen Harrison Ford hog on this thing, by the way? Anyway. but yeah, no. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Great to be here, Chase. Great to be here today. Did we start yet?
We did.
Okay.
All right. So, well, I'm...
Oh, no. I was going to say, I would honestly side with Martin on that. I think that as an actual movie... Princess Bride is a better movie than Spinal Tap.
I don't know.
But Spinal Tap as a comedy and as a fan of comedy is one of my all-time favorites. So I prefer it. I prefer to watch it more. But Princess Bride is an amazing movie.
Yeah. Now, I will say that I think if you had tried to do the same thing with Rob Reiner, you might have chosen...
Sleepless in Seattle.
Yes, Sleepless in Seattle. The one that he did not direct. He was just in it.
Yeah. He was in it. No, and he was talking about all the puss he gets.
Stand By Me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which I believe is one of the few that you've given a 10 out of 10 on this podcast.
It is indeed.
I forget what the 10s were.
Projectile vomiting,
or maybe...
Leeches, maybe?
Leeches, like ball leeches, that sounds like
it would have been too obvious. Maybe it was Dead Bodies. I don't know.
Yeah. Stephen King adaptations.
Yeah, or maybe it was 10... it was probably 10 Wesleys.
10...
Because, you know, fucking yeah. Will Wheaton, you know?
There you go. To
shut up, Wesley.
Into this week's episode.
Oh, very good.
Which is a parody.
Very good segue.
Of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Martin, you... So we've been talking.
I know it's pronounced Segway, by the way. I just want to fucking put that out there.
But we
for some of the listeners, I know it's pronounced Segway.
It's Focus.
Okay, fine. Sorry.
we've been talking, and I asked you what movie you would like to come on and talk about that Bryce possibly had not seen or had not seen all of it or whatever. And surprisingly enough, this one worked out. But this one was, you're like one, like you had it in the chamber, and that's Galaxy Quest, right?
So, make it so.
Martin, what is it about Galaxy Quest? Like, what is your connection to this film that brought brought it to you wanting to cover it on this show?
Well, I think it's just because it's just so hilarious. I think every time I watch this, there are just moments in this where I'm literally belly laughing, even though I've seen it many times.
Word.
I mean, I'm a big Star Trek fan. I mean, I'm a big Star Wars fan as well. Like, I'm not either or, I'm both pretty much. Yeah. But like, when I used to live with my dad, we always like chose to watch a film on a Friday night. It was always a Friday night, and we were quite geeky about it. And we chose to watch. We had like three different piles of DVDs and Blu-rays. Like my pile, films that I hadn't seen, but my dad had. You know, the other way around in the other pile, and we would like roll a dice and to decide yeah, which nice. Films we would watch. And then after the movie watch, we would go through the Star Trek original series on VHS. So we were super cool people.
Hell yeah.
That sounds no, like that's, so much fun.
That sounds like me and my dad, actually, to be honest. I still remember him when they first released the Star Wars trilogy all together as a pack.
Yeah.
In the 90s, in like the mid to late 90s.
Yeah, the special editions.
Yeah, which you have. And I remember my dad going to buy it and me being like kind of talking shit about it and being like, you know, as like a fucking little 7-year-old or whatever, and just being like, oh, what, you actually want to buy that? Like, that it looks so boring. And he was like, have you not seen this yet? And I was like, no. Yeah. He's like, okay, we're watching this. And I remember him like sitting me down and like watching it with me and getting that whole experience of watching the trilogy with him. And we did it every week. So we started with A New Hope, and then it was the next week we did, you know, Empire. Cool. And the whole process of me, so are we ever going to see Darth Vader's face? Like, who is Darth Vader? And him having to just be like, just watch. but
yeah, my dad still has the original theatrical releases on VHS.
Nice. Yeah.
And I always tell him, like, you could make a fortune, but don't sell them though.
Yeah. My dad also had the whole original Star Trek on VHS too. So he would he would put on Trouble with Tribbles for me to go to bed to and stuff. You know, like that was my favorite one as a kid because of the cute little tribbles. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Each tape had like three episodes on it, and like at the start.
Yeah.
You would have an introduction by like George Takei
or
James Doohan. You know, that was always kind of special to see that.
Absolutely.
Now, this might be a dumb question, but like, I wonder.
Excuse me, me and Martin are talking about our dorky childhood. So if you could just step out.
But like, I wonder if the British tapes of that were different. Like, if they had a different like.
Ooh, that's a good question. Actually, to,
I've never looked into
that. Is true, because it on ours, I do remember over here, it was three episodes.
See, I know that in America they cut out all the nudity, and in Britain they kept all the nudity in.
Yeah, you guys got to see all the alien pussy,
but they took away all the violence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They took all the guns out.
Oh, there's no guns.
Like, no guns, but all the alien pussy.
Yeah, it was all there. All the green ladies were there. Yeah.
Well, what, they can have a movie called Octopussy, but we can't say Alien Pussy? What, you know, what's going on? What's the matter here? I don't understand.
All right. So,
okay.
Well, it's great to have you, Martin. I'm really excited to talk about this movie. I love this fucking movie, and I had not gotten around to like watching it again. I mean, it's probably been 15 years at least since I last watched this movie. And so I was very happy to watch it again. But Bryce, you, an avid Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
And even a fan of literally only Kubrick movies and the first three Star Wars movies.
Pretty much, yeah.
Until we started this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. You'd never gotten around to seeing this one. So what did you know about this movie going in, and why was it not something that you had seen?
I remember it coming out, and I remember it from our childhood, you know. Mm-hmm. What was it,
99.
Okay. Yeah. So I remember it even like being on TV from time to time and just seeing little scenes of it here and there. And I remember Alan Rickman and his, you know, squid head or whatever you would call
brain
that.
Brain head thing.
Yeah. And I knew Tim Allen was in it. And that was about it. I forgot that it had anything to do with it being fake, you know, mm-hmm. And like being the basically a parody of Star Trek or whatever. And I didn't know Sigourney Weaver was in it, a Sigourney Beaver herself. And speaking of her, when I saw her shirt down like that, I was like, Galaxy Quest, more like Galaxy Breast.
Oh my God. You know?
But anyway, I knew
that's that, just for the British people.
Yeah. Oh, right. I saw the British version.
See, here in America, we do not like to look at nakeds.
Yeah, we are very ashamed of our bodies. We fear
nudity.
Which
is weird because we're way more attractive than British people.
And there's so much more of us to love.
Yeah, the Brits are notoriously ugly, to be fair. You have to go on the continent.
Americans are notoriously fat.
Right.
But we're taking it back, man.
We're bringing fat back.
We're a bunch of chubby chasers over here.
Okay.
That's about all I remember. I just remember when I saw Sigourney Weaver's shirt, I was like, more like Galaxy Breast. That's what I remember, you know. So
yeah. All right. I'm just looking at the box.
Just checking the box.
Does it say that on the back of it?
It does. It says it right there. Okay. All right. So
is the film mix?
No, it's actually in there. Don't look at the back. We're gonna get you your new back of the box. So it is time for everyone's favorite segment, or second favorite, or a segment that they sit through at the very least.
Yep.
It's the newbie synopsis. All right, Bryce.
I'm nervous.
You have 1 minute.
I can't do it when someone's watching.
You are walking through the video store, a Blockbuster, maybe a movie gallery, perhaps a Hollywood Video. I mean, it is 1999. Right?
Yeah.
You come across Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
You pick it up.
Yeah.
You're like, maybe this is my Friday night movie. Maybe me and Pops will roll the dice.
Uh-huh.
And I'll go watch this one.
Uh-huh.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Oh, it's Michael Caine. Okay.
Yeah. Michael Caine.
No, it wasn't you, Martin. It was Michael Caine.
it was Martin Caine. Anyway.
Back of the box, go. What does it say?
Oh, did you start the timer?
Yeah. He started.
Oh, shit.
This is all on the back of the box.
Okay. Tim Allen. Again? I thought he was done. Nope. He's here for a movie about a television show, a sci-fi television show from the 80s, in which he played the captain, the main character, if you will, the William Shatner, as it is a sort of a parody of Star Trek. We get to meet all of them in present day. And basically see how they're living since the show's been off the air, doing comic cons and things like that, and basically being mad about their past or whatever, or where they ended up. But then all of a sudden real aliens show up and want them to do a mission for them in real space, and boy, all right, good.
I love it when the box runs out of space.
I know, yeah. There's only so much you can fit in there.
This is probably why Blockbuster went out of business. Like,
I think so.
Somebody should have been like telling the people who were making the back of the boxes, like, guys, tighten it up.
Yeah,
don't start with, is this on the back of the box?
Yeah.
Yes, this is already on the back of the box. A minute it has already started. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, not too bad in there. You had some of the same words that were on the back of the act. I do have an actual VHS
copy. Can we do a compare?
Do you want me to read it or you want to read it? Go ahead and read it.
Okay.
All it's right. Not much better.
You want to time it?
Yeah, actually, that's fun. Let's time it. All right.
You have 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And go.
Okay. Is the timer started?
The timer has started.
Is this on the back of the box?
On the back of the box? Okay. Yes, it is.
Tim Allen, really? not washed up yet. He's back in this movie about space, where he plays a man. And this is basically the same thing that
it's
I
exactly
said.
It's the exact same thing.
There's no point.
This isn't a bit, guys. It's the same exact thing. This is meta.
Yeah, this is meta.
Everything
at this
we're
point.
Doing is 100% real.
So the whole time I've been channeling the guy that wrote all these synopses on the back of the box.
This is probably why you never watched a movie until we started.
I never had to because I had all these. I was been channeling these synopses,
And you were like, "These sound awful." All right, so Galaxy Quest.
Okay.
There's a lot to unpack with this film.
Certainly.
So, Bryce.
What?
As usual, we can head to your notes.
Okay.
But before we do that, Martin, do you have any, did you take any notes on this reviewing of it, or would you like us to just like throw it to Bryce and see what he thinks?
And yeah, I got some bounce notes, off. Yeah.
Right. Oh, no, yeah, let's let the guests, let's let the guests do the honors because I definitely did not forget my notes at home.
I think Alan Rickman is the MVP here. I love how miserable he is.
All right.
We're starting off hot.
We get it.
We're getting right to it. Yeah.
Got to go with the British actor first.
Obviously. Yeah.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, he's incredible in everything.
I mean, that's the thing. And every time it just soaks it. Talk about gone too soon, you know? He's one of those actors where like you didn't know what you had until it was gone, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where it's like now every time I see him, I'm just like, oh man, he was so fucking good.
Yeah.
But he was always playing like a second fiddle type character, you know, to where like he didn't get like necessarily the shining stuff, or he was playing an asshole like Hans Gruber or Snape,
which was his first film.
Right.
You know, like
that's great. And
iconic performance on his first way out.
Right. Yeah.
And that wasn't anywhere near his last.
Yeah. But just, man, what a treasure. You know, what a treasure.
I will count to three.
Yeah.
There won't be a four.
Yeah. That was our first episode. Did you say that already?
I don't think Martin knew that, but our very first episode was
Die Hard.
Was Die Hard. Yeah. And then the second episode was Tremors.
I have a new Die Hard poster behind me as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, the Nakatomi Plaza.
Nakatomi Plaza, yeah. Bruce Willis, Alan Rickman. You see it right down there? Yeah.
And then you got Westworld. I mean, you got a lot of dope.
Yeah, you got some great artwork back there. Loving the Clockwork Orange. Loving the Clockwork Orange.
American, right?
Yep.
Bullet. Mad Max, that's Australian.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this. That's a penal colony.
Birds.
People. Predator.
Predator, yeah.
R.I.P. Carl Weathers. Right here. R.I.P. Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Sean Connery.
Yeah. Loving the
All
Michael.
Right, don't do the
Malcolm
accent.
McDowell.
Okay? Like, don't do the accent.
When we saw that red Croovy, my brothers. That's my Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah.
I suddenly remembered my shot.
Yeah.
I was like saying that.
Love it.
Thingamabob.
Yeah.
So what notes we got? Well, let's start right off the top. Other than Alan Rickman, I do agree. I think he is basically an MVP in this. Although, being said,
there is one. Like, wait. There, do you want to try to do a same time though?
Yeah.
On who under?
There's like everybody in this movie is really, really good, but like let's be honest. Like on rewatch and knowing what
on
I know
three.
About him.
On three.
One, two, three.
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell. Okay.
Yes. Me and Martin on the same page.
Yeah. Sam Rockwell is so good in this.
Yes.
But Tony Shalhoub is unsung in this because he's such a weird character.
Yeah.
And like, this whole thing is just like, yeah, I used to do a lot of acid. And like, but he like never says it.
You can tell
like he's like, oh yeah, this guy is burnt out.
Yeah,
and the way that he
when he does the rocket thing and he ends up on the ship and he's like,
he was great in Monk. I used to watch Monk an awful lot.
I've still never watched it.
I annoy the shit out of my wife now that Monk is on Peacock all the time, and they just had a new Monk movie that came out like over at Christmas.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and I'm always trying to be like, let's watch Monk.
Okay.
She's like, no, let's watch Mad Men for the 90th time. I was like, you don't understand. Tony Shalhoub is a national treasure.
Yeah. I remember him from Wings.
He was great in Wings.
Yeah.
He's great in everything.
I know.
Even 13 Ghosts, which is a terrible movie.
Never heard of it. Never heard of it. Never will.
We got to put it on the the podcast.
I'll think about it.
Matthew Lillard. Tony Shalhoub.
I'm down. Matthew Lillard is our is Gen X as Marlon Brando.
Yeah. And he's trying hard.
I'm not even joking.
I know. He's trying hard in that movie. They're both trying to save him.
Man, I love
that. Shannon Elizabeth. Not great, but, you know, she's in it.
No, but we talked about Matthew Lillard, man. He's amazing.
Matthew Lillard is good.
Have you seen SLC Punk, Martin?
No, I've not. No.
Ooh, dude.
Oh, that's an American classic.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you want to see a great
on the watch list,
great acting performance.
It is like you watch it, you're like, this isn't acting. This is somebody that is actually going through this moment in their life.
Oh,
and
there's
no way that any one of these words is not something that is just actually naturally happening.
It's amazing.
It is one of the best. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, it's no joke.
Best acting performances I've ever seen in my life. And I still don't believe that it's not real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
SLC is Salt Lake City, by the way. That's, a city out in Utah that's famously Mormon, and it's about this, you know, Mormon kid who is in the punk scene of this Mormon city out in Utah in like the mid-90s, late 90s, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah. I know it came out in the late 90s, but
I call it Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake
City.
If
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
because of the horses. Because
of the horses.
Yeah. Because they have horses.
Yeah.
We have horses. Do y'all have horses? So... Have you ever seen a horse, Martin?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes, I have.
Come on. Do you have one of those?
We have animals.
Yeah. Wait, what do y'all call zoos? Like animal cages?
No, it's a zoo.
All right.
But yeah, Tony Shalhoub is great because he's the one character in this movie that's just kind of along for the ride and just taking everything in his stride.
He's so funny.
Like, I love that moment when like they arrive on the ship and the rest of the crew are like insanely fucked up by the journey in total shock. And then Sam Rockwell lets out this incredible scream.
God.
And then he comes in and he's like, oh, that was a hell of a ride.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell. Yeah. Sam Rockwell is stealing this movie.
Oh man, big time.
Like so much. I love the part where he's like, nobody even knows my last name.
Yeah.
I'm Guy. Yeah. And it's like, just fucking tell him your last name. Right. And he never does.
Yeah,
we don't learn it until we see him.
Very
until we see him in it.
And then it's a cool ass last name. And then of course, like his character, he like gives his character like the coolest fucking name where he's like even has a nickname where it was like something Rock Ingerson or something, like something strong as fuck. Yeah, that was great.
I just
great.
Love the fact that he's freaking out the whole time because he thinks he's going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's the red shirt from Star Trek.
Yeah, exactly.
This is where I die all the time.
Yeah.
And then Tony Shalhoub, the titular guy who is the like goofy sidekick and everything else that he's in.
Wait, why is he the titular guy?
I mean, because
the movie's not called Galaxy Shalhoub.
No, what I mean, not the titular. That's
Shalhoub Quest?
Yeah, the engineer, dude.
He's the one who is the funny guy in most of the things that he's in.
Yeah, but titular doesn't usually
mean... titular means title. Yeah, I did use the wrong word.
Booyah.
Sorry.
I don't know what that
Sorry,
word means.
Asshole.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
But
that's karma.
He's like, why don't you just be like the funny sidekick?
Uh-huh.
And he's like... I should.
Yeah, it was very titular how he did that, right, Chase? This guy. Just kidding. Anyway,
I love the fact as well that he, like, towards the end, he's kind of going past the red shirt phase in the movie, and he's trying to put on this kind of fake confidence thing with the gun, like posing his ass off.
The
corridor.
Yeah, always like, in the background. Doing, Oh man, how about the
trying to fool like fate?
How about the bit where one of my favorite parts of the movie was when he's being Justin Long is it? I can't believe how many fucking famous people are in this movie.
And like a lot of them are famous now.
Right.
Like Justin Long, Missy Pyle, famously, or maybe not famously, but she was from Katie.
Really?
Yeah.
Who did she play again?
She was Larlia or something. She was the one that Tony Shalhoub falls in love with.
Oh, that's Missy. Yeah. That's her name.
Pyle. Yeah,
she's great.
She's phenomenal. And
she's from Katy.
She lived in Katy for a while, I believe. Yeah. Her parents moved here.
Katy is our hometown, Martin.
Yeah, Katy is a suburb here in Houston. Of Houston.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Yeah,
okay. That's where we.
I wondered where that was going.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Famously, the most famous person to come from there is Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
But apparently,
right. Yeah, you guys name your towns weirdly, you know, a lot of female names.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Charlotte.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of Boston, Shires or Chesters or no. Yeah, we don't.
Yeah, we have New York. That's about as British New as Hampshire. We get here. Yeah.
Yeah, all the news.
Yeah, New Hampshire.
Those are also
New
states.
England.
Yeah.
New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey, right.
Yeah,
and then we have Tex, and then we have ass.
Yeah, and then but like also what's great about like where we live is a lot of times you could figure out what was around there when it got formed, like Pearland,
right?
Sugarland.
Sugarland. Why would they name place Sugarland? Oh, yeah. Probably because it was. Now, yeah. Katy should have been called Rice Land.
Yeah,
because it is where you made rice.
Yeah. But then
we
have
a market called Iceland.
But wasn't that a whole thing of like, isn't it green and then Greenland's really ice and then Iceland is really green?
Yeah.
Right.
Although they should have called it Volcano Land. Am I right?
That's what I'm saying.
Up top.
Yeah, Bjork.
Yeah, I'd call it Bjorkland. Speaking of Bjork, I just saw some footage of her beating a journalist up like in the 90s, like just like beating the shit out of a paparazzi person, like fucking like UFC style, dude. I was like, god damn, Bjork, you wouldn't think she had it in her, but she was just
she
fucking
did it, and then she did that laugh,
dude. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she said, this was so fun, I love to beat up.
We always need to see more of that in the world.
It is art to beat up the
I
paparazzi.
Would love to watch an interview of like Bjork interviewing Werner Herzog.
Oh yeah, okay, can you do Werner Herzog? I'll do Bjork.
I could do a little bit.
It's so funny. I like the idea of.
I do not find anything to be funny in this world other than the fact that we all die alone and afraid.
Well, that's fine because there is art in dying. You must feel your death to live.
We get each other so well, Bjork.
Do you want to fuck me in my swan dress?
Hold on. I just got shot. No, I'll be fine.
Sorry, that was me. I get excited, and I shoot my guns when I get excited.
And scene. Okay.
That was not good.
It was pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Got a terrific finish.
I felt like I was watching a scene from The Big Lebowski right there.
Hey, Flea's in that.
Could you do Flea?
Being here,
All right, let's get back to the movie. So,
yeah, sure.
This movie is interesting to me, like watching it, because in 1999, this is before like Comic-Con really blew up. How have the cons gotten real big over in the UK as well as like the way that they have gotten over?
Yeah,
here?
Yeah. We have some big ones in like London and Birmingham, places like the MCM Comic Con, where I got a few of these actually. You know, they have two in the year, like one in March and October, and I think there's another one in July. So, I mean, with them, like now, I went a few years ago, and it's just full of anime cosplays.
Yeah.
But I went with my friend. I'm like, who are these people? I don't know. You have to tell me, man. I'm starting to get into anime more, but that time, I'm like, I am not seeing many Batmans and stuff. It's all crazy people with big hair, spiky big hair.
Right.
Well,
right.
And yeah, it's a weird transfer, like, because we've been going to Comicpalooza, which is a big one here in Houston.
Right.
One of the biggest in Texas, actually. And
what? You kissed him?
We've been going to that for doing the podcast there for several years now.
I'm a warrior.
It went from
a variety of flower.
All right, enough.
Anime.
It went from like everything you saw was just a guy in a morph suit that was looking like Deadpool to it's all like 20-year-olds or younger in different anime. And it's like, I don't know what those are. Like, I used to go with my wife and be like, oh yeah, that's this character, that's this character. And then she started watching these movies and things with me. And she'd be like, oh, look at that person. Oh, this. And then the next year we went and she goes, who's that? And I'm like, I don't know. Who's that? I don't know that one. I'm like, it's one of those animes.
Is this some kind of joke?
Something about a demon or maybe something about a, you know, I mean, my anime kind of begins and ends with Hamtaro and Dragon Ball Z. And that's like my anime knowledge. I mean, I've picked up a little bit more throughout, but I've never watched, you know, One Punch Man or One Piece or, and these are just the ones that start with one. So,
We did anime on our last episode, Akira versus Kiki's Delivery Service.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I fucking loved Akira. Like, mind blown. I'm like, holy shit, the ideas in this movie are insane.
Have you ever seen Akira?
No, I haven't.
We should do Akira.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, that so one, good. Like, you would love it.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but great things about it. Yeah.
It's very, like, fucked up at the end with one particular character.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Can I guess which one?
Go on, then.
Try.
Goku.
No, actually, it was Frieza's father.
King Cold.
Yeah, King Cold.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so back to Galaxy Quest.
Man, sounds like you.
One of the first things that I know, like, this movie is, I mean, it's not, like, super long. It's, you know, it's about what a 90s movie used to be. It's, I think it's an hour and 40 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And it fucking starts, man. Like, you get this, like, idea of who they are because of these, like, sad little cons, which back then, I guess they were sadder than they are now. But, you know, with all the geekiness or whatever. And then he's like, you know, Tim Allen's character is immediately pulled onto the space station and, you know, is hungover and doesn't know that he's in it. And there's some fish out of water funniness or whatever. But then, like, I mean, it starts going hard and fast from there. And the effects. Absolutely. So, like, how do you feel about the effects in this film?
I think they hold up. I think they're pretty good. You know, the whole sequence where he gets fired, where he gets, like, consumed by this jelly thing. Yeah. I think it's quite clever. I think they know what they can do and what they can't. So, and you got to make it funny as well, right? So I think covering Tim Allen and the rest of the cast in this transparent goo and then firing them off through a black hole is really clever and hilarious to
you already mentioned
it works really well.
Yeah, you already mentioned it with Sam Rockwell when he, like, ends up there and just starts screaming.
Yeah, or no, but it was a great bit because he was just sitting there freaking out. Yeah. And also, I love, speaking of that, I loved how, like, I couldn't help but imagine, like, the direction of that, like, per the director, okay, we're gonna put CGI goo over you, so just act like you're freaking out, you know. And so you get there, you get to see everyone's goo acting, you know what I mean? So, like, that's what I call
but
it.
With so, the
like,
scream, I love it because of the delay there.
Yeah, the delay was a while. Great,
like,
bit.
It feels like a good 5 minutes that they've been standing there when the thermiums come in without looking like humans. They don't have their whatever they call it universal changer thingy mabob
image changer or whatever, image normalizer, whatever they called it.
And there's tentacles everywhere. There's still they don't really change their expressions. They're still kind of in shock mode. Even though these crazy aliens are coming, he still doesn't make a noise.
And then
screams.
So first of all, my wife is like, one of the things that she will always find funny is whenever a man screams in a high-pitched voice.
It's really?
Like, interesting. Mean, it gets her every fucking time.
Okay, I'm going to try that out.
It's just like any time that a man can scream in a high-pitched voice, like Home Alone, I guess it goes back to that. You know, the Daniel Stern Home Alone Darryl screams. Mitchell. Yes.
Wait. Tommy Weber has a great high scream when he's been taken.
I don't know what that word means.
And like she just laughs so hard when it is this high-pitched scream. And so it started happening in this movie, especially with Sam Rockwell. And she just like laughs so hard. And she's like, oh, this is my favorite movie now.
Yeah.
And what was interesting to me,
what was the care review of this?
She loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Oh, yeah.
We both did. And I like my review of it was I hadn't seen it in so long and I remembered loving it. But like the more that I watched it, the more I was like, man, why did I not watch this more often? It's so good. All she remembered of it was that it was funny and that she liked it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The one scene I always come back to with this scene, and I laugh out loud like all the time, is when they launch the ship out of the dock.
Oh, yes.
And the first time. Tommy Weber is piloting it. Well, yeah, the commander, Tim Allen's like, you know, let's go, let's set out. And he's like, what?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, excuse me?
You know, he drives in.
These were designed after what slowly. You did.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
It starts like, it starts like shifting over and everybody starts to like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, man.
Grape spy.
But of course, you do know that that wouldn't actually happen in real life because in space, there is no sound. So they wouldn't be hearing that.
Well, you don't really hear it. Because
got him.
Nobody screams.
Nah. Movie debunked.
You can't. No one can hear you scream. No. Yeah.
It's no. Just
that,
kidding. I'm just.
But
kidding.
It's just that. Like. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh no. Oh no.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Get it.
Oh. Yeah. And it's a great out, gag.
Like, got it.
Yeah. It's a great gag.
It's just but, how I just love how they're so committed on. Keeping the scrape noise for so long.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's yeah. And just getting all of their reactions to it. Just like,
And like I love little bits Sam Rockwell as well. Yeah. I love Sam Rockwell as well when he comes to Tommy and he's like, oh, you need to go a bit to the right. I feel like that's all right. Improvised as well. It's like, get off. Let me drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which also in space, not a thing.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. Speaking about that bit of that, it does the thing that we've talked about for a lot that I've always said that I appreciate when a writer does, because it's such a fucking like insane premise, right? Like, how do you base it in any kind of reality or believability to make it relatable in any way so that it can be fun? Mm. And the fact that like, I think that this was a really clever way to have like a simple explanation that is just good enough and it doesn't get too crazy. All he's got to say is just like, they designed it based off watching your movements.
Yeah.
Doesn't totally make sense, but it's just enough to be like, okay, everything, I buy it.
And it, but the, I'm and in. It plays back in later too.
Yeah. Where yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where they're like, this with is the, all designed on exactly going what through you're the doing. Ship.
Yeah.
And all the nerds, like even to the point where, Justin Long is like, I can't believe you're in there right now.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they're like, it's a big fan. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like this gorgeous thing going on.
Yeah.
Now, Omega 13.
Yeah.
That looks, you know, a little
and then
dated.
Of course they threw in the well, but we actually theorize that it rearranges things and lets you go back 13 seconds. So as soon as he says that, you're like well, that's okay, something's gonna happen. Where,
because
then it becomes a giant. It becomes Chekhov's Omega 13.
I was gonna say it's Chekhov's long explanation.
Yeah,
nice.
But again, I feel like this film is very knowing and knows its Star Trek films as it should do, really, because I think that's definitely riffing off the Wrath of Khan, right? With I can't remember what it's called now, but that weapon in that movie,
the one that
changes matter.
Oh, right, and even right.
The that sequence where the ship is coming out, that's all kind of riffing off.
Well,
the great moment in the motion picture where you see like a really long sequence where they're showing off the Enterprise for the first time.
We talked about that
when we covered that one where it's like
they spend like 10 minutes.
This is taking too long.
Too long.
This is not 2001. Why are we still looking 10 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah.
We got to get like, every single angle of the ship before we move on.
And it's funny because it's like these people who never saw it, they only saw the models like on the TV version.
Yeah.
You know? And then all of a sudden, like,
now they're
like,
seeing the real thing.
For real, and they're like, all right, that's kind
of
cool.
But also speaking of them, like, you know, doing the designs based off of the watching the show, that whole sequence of Justin Long, like, leading them through the ship to get there.
And
of course, there's the one part of the ship with the metal clamps. And then,
of course,
at the very end of it, there just is fire.
There's just an open flame. There's a wall of fire.
Yeah, like, why?
Like, it's part of the aggro crag or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just computer game sequence of the movie.
Right. And, like, of course, like, within the show, the writers aren't, you know, let's just have an open flame in a spaceship, you know?
It's like,
for no fucking reason.
Why does this even
this
looks exist?
Like an engine room, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just uncontrolled open flames.
Why does this exist other than to smash people?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because it's in our show.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they have, I don't know, they need to tenderize a lot of big alien meat.
Yeah,
so
right.
They put it in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
You know, every.
Yeah, but like it, what's great about it is it's a parody, you know, similar to like Austin Powers to like
yeah,
007, Bond. You know, Bond
yeah, yeah.
movies.
Yeah, to Bond.
But it's also like such a loving letter to Star Trek, right? So it's not like
absolutely.
Making fun of those things. And it doesn't only, it's not like, you know, which I do love Airplane and, you know, the yeah. Zucker Brother, uh-huh. you know, movies and Mel Brooks
flat
and
all that parodies. Kind of stuff.
But like, it's not just being like sight gags.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this yeah. is a real place with real things with your, you know, explanation.
Yeah, right.
Of being like, oh, it's all based on this dumb show.
Right, right.
And because of that, we can figure it out or whatever.
Yeah.
And because
and plus like, it's like a really great idea.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
for a science fiction story, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great meta story.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And like, you know, there was always talk of doing another Galaxy Quest because this did well, but not like huge. And then the landscape of film changed so much after this came out, because this was 99.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you know, but that was the end of a century.
Uh-huh.
And it, you know, things changed after The Matrix.
I don't,
which came out at the same time.
I don't, is that a movie? Right, The Matrix? Yeah. I thought that was the thing that we live in.
Oh, wait, did I say Matrix? I meant 9/11.
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget that.
I don't know if you've heard of 9/11. It didn't happen over there.
Yeah, it didn't. Did you hear about that?
I'm sorry, 11/9.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 11/9.
11/9, yeah.
Which works because you guys also dial your police
119. 119, right? Yeah. It's all the same.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, no, like, you know, things changed after this, and like movies for a while got a lot less fun. And then, you know, Alan Rickman got busy with Harry Potter, and like, you know, they couldn't get everybody back and all these kind of things. And then now, you know, it's too late because we've lost Rickman and, you know, several other people in this film. I'm almost glad that they didn't make another one, because this is such a fun little piece. And if you like this, watch The Orville.
Yeah,
because like The Orville really has a lot of this film.
Yeah,
and I
agree.
The love of Star Trek.
Yeah, have you watched The Orville, Martin?
No, because I really don't like Seth MacFarlane.
See, I agree with that. Like,
no,
I can see
totally.
That, but I'm telling you, it's a lot less MacFarlane. If you get past the first two episodes where he had to do it to be like a joke, so that Fox would let him keep making it. After that, it becomes just like
really, really good. Star Trek.
Very TNG. Okay.
Yeah.
Based.
I like a lot of his animated TV shows, but a lot of his movies, I just don't find his brand of comedy that great.
And
A Million Ways to Die in the West. Oh my God.
I've not seen it.
It's not good.
Really?
Yeah. There's a reason I never brought that one up.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
The best joke is a bad joke, and it's where they find the DeLorean.
Well, you know, I'm not going to like it because
I don't like sand.
Don't like sand. So. We know that famously.
There's no sand, it's dirt. But anyway, whatever.
Well, you know, it's the West.
Whatever.
Sand, yeah, Fifle, yeah. You know, you don't like Jewish.
I think a piece of tumbleweed came in my cinema that day.
So. Okay, yeah. There we go.
That would have been a joke from that movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I would definitely give The Orville a try, especially if you like old school Star Trek.
I'd second that.
It's a lot of fun, and it's like surprisingly poignant the way that like some of the Star Trek stuff tried to be.
Yeah.
Especially the Roddenberry stuff.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting, very good.
Yeah, it's good.
And it is funny, but it's this kind of funny, not like, you know, not like Ted funny.
Yeah. Right. There's definitely some cleverness in this movie in terms of its comedy and like how it's riffing on Star Trek. And it's interesting you're talking about like when this film came out, because like certainly in the late 90s, Star Trek films were not in a great place. This is probably arguably the best Star Trek film around to that time. You know, between like 95 and 2004, like you had Star Trek Generations, Insurrection,
Nemesis. Wait, Nemesis was
Nemesis was the last one
of Tom Hardy one.
Of Picard.
Was that like 2003 or 2004 maybe?
2004.
Yeah.
This one really stood out.
Yeah.
I like the official Star Trek movies.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Orville too. I think Orville is better than any of the new Star Trek crap that's coming
out. Yeah, I agree.
Especially like Enterprise, which was terrible.
I never bothered with Enterprise.
And I love me some Scott Bakula.
Yeah. Oh, but have you watched any of like Discovery or
I watched Discovery Stranger and Worlds I got bored. I have not watched the new.
I haven't watched the Captain Pike stuff.
Stranger Thing. What's it called? Strange New Worlds.
Stranger Worlds.
I've heard it's really, really good.
Yeah. I recommend that. Yeah.
Because I love that they brought in Captain Pike and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten around to it. Plus Paramount Plus. Can I, dude?
It's all the streaming services.
Paramount Plus is hands down the worst piece of shit of a streaming service on the market, hands down. Fix your shit. Yeah. I know no one's listening to this.
Now, who's but fuck you,
Paramount
now?
Plus. Maybe HBO this will get
Max,
into the algorithm.
All crashing. It's all
maybe
garbage.
This will get into the algorithm.
Apple
but
though. Paramount Apple Plus. Has
Apple
some good
can
shit on
fuck
there.
Off.
Really?
Mythic Quest is the only good thing on that channel.
No, Paramount Plus. No. I'm saying Paramount.
I'll say it right now.
I'm
Ted
saying
Lasso
Paramount
is
Plus. Paramount Plus is trash because its streaming quality. It's trash. You can't stream it without it skipping. Like fucking, it buffers every fucking time. You can't forget about trying to watch like football on it, which is so fucking annoying because that's where they show a lot of the championship games. It fucking is constantly buffering. You can't watch shit without it buffering
way,
for fucking 20
Martin,
seconds every 20
says,
seconds.
When he says football, he means that leather-headed bullshit that they watch over here.
Oh, sorry. American soccer.
American soccer.
But let's talk about the guy that plays the main alien. Let's talk about the guy that plays the main alien.
Yes, Veronica Mars is dead. From Just Shoot Me.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, these are two different things that he's played.
Oh, that's why. He is in Just Shoot Me. That's right.
He's the photographer from Just Shoot Me.
That's right.
He's
what's his name?
Also Veronica Mars' dad.
Yeah, what's his name?
In Veronica Mars. And his name is Enrico Colantini.
Man, he's great in this, huh? Yeah. With that way, so that dialogue,
see,
that dialect.
I love the aliens in this.
Yeah.
Like, one, which
yeah. Well, and what was,
we
what's
were
the,
get
what's
to,
the
I was
chick from Katie?
Oh,
Rainn Wilson.
Rainn Wilson's in it.
This is pre-Office Rainn Wilson.
Yes. Jed Reese is a weird looking guy who's really good in this.
Oh yeah, that's the Pachoto looking guy.
Yeah.
He looks like Guy Pachoto from Fugazi. Oh,
yes, yeah.
Do they have Fugazi over
Sam
there, Mark?
Lloyd fucking Ted. Ted is one of the aliens.
Ted.
Ted Buckland.
Yeah, they're all
oh,
so
yeah, that's
good.
Right. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Like all of these like character actors from,
yeah, that's
from
right.
sitcoms
that
are
in my
it,
notes.
And they're all good. But
that's
like
right.
one of the things that they do so well is their dialogue or their dialect or whatever.
Yeah, the dialect.
The way that they are faking. You know, like,
yeah.
It's so,
especially
so
with,
interesting.
Especially with the leader. What was his name? Matheson? Yeah,
Mathisar.
Yeah. That's right.
There's like no gaps in their dialogue. There's,
yeah,
know, it's like they don't take a breath.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but such a great like
Commander that, Saras is here. You need to talk to him now.
Yeah.
Otherwise we will blow up.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is, you know, it's so smart too, because if you listen to like a language that you don't understand, you do not hear gaps in the dialogue.
Yeah,
because,
that's true.
Because
yeah.
we don't pause.
Yeah,
like, unless
right.
we actually. Yeah. Pause between our words.
Like
you don't
to,
know where it starts and where it doesn't.
Trying to understand Spanish as a
clever.
Beginner and like as an English speaker.
Yeah,
is yeah, it's very much like that.
But
like,
also going
like
back
on.
To just like the other stuff about it, the way that they look as the tentacle creatures, practical effect puppets, right? So much practical effect.
Yeah.
Like going back to the starship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so much of that was actual models, and it looks so fucking dope.
Yeah. And that rock monster,
yeah, it definitely
practical
holds.
Yeah,
the rock
just kidding,
monster
just
looked real.
But
good.
The lizard pig, though,
yeah, the lizard pig was real, and it looked real.
Right, right.
Saris.
Well, especially the when it was turned inside out.
Yeah,
that was great. That
and then I was going straight back to John Carpenter, right?
Yes,
now,
exactly.
Like, yeah,
Saris,
and his all
exactly.
of the like the
oh
the,
man,
whatever those the, what was their race called? I forget, but the lizard men, the Saris, whatever.
Yeah. The royal family, the presidents,
and his
the lizard people. You know,
his makeup was so good, and that character design was so good. And you could see the performance coming out of it.
Yeah.
It moved with the actor's face.
Yeah.
Whether or not it was animatronic or not, I don't even really know.
Well, his tentacles were moving around on his head even.
But like his lips moved
correctly. I know.
Like, man, it looked so good.
Dude, the makeup must have been brutal for that, dude. Like, that would talk about worst acting gigs, because you're doing all that, you don't get your face on it at all, and then no one's gonna look at your name.
Well,
and so you don't, you know, you're just literally doing it for the money.
Oddly enough, Doug Jones not in this film, who is the one who usually you have to put in makeup like that to get a good performance
in Discovery.
Yeah.
I don't think the makeup was anything like, I don't think it was anything like, you know, Jim Carrey, the Grinch level of makeup.
In
terms of how long they were in the chair
for. Sure.
I love how, like, Sarah kind of looks, it's over the top design, you know, he's got like these lizard things that look like a helicopter hat. From a cartoon kid or something. And I love the fact that when he gets really pissed off, like, these kind of weird wings just pop out.
That's right. Yeah, dude. You know, yeah, that was a nice touch.
Entirely just for a joke, a visual gag.
But it was a nice touch.
They don't need to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's got like a metal eye patch to make him look like a space pirate.
Yeah,
you know, there's a very knowingness here.
Yeah.
And it fits in with that like Star Trek vibe, right? Everybody. Yeah.
But the only
people who aren't. So in Star Trek, when you look at all the creatures, because of money constraints and stuff, everybody's a humanoid, right? So everybody has two arms, two legs, and a face. And they'll put like a flipper on your hand, and they'll put like little tentacles on your body. But like the main good guys, like they have that thing that makes them where they can look like humans or whatever. But like they're actually not that. But they know that looking at these the Galaxy Quest crew or whatever, like we have to look like humans in order for them to understand anything that we're doing, right? Whereas like nobody else does, because they still so like it's like kind of another like weird little inside joke.
Right, where the good aliens still have humanoid features about them. like the Klingons, like Worf, you know. But this is also based on Star Trek in real life, original series anyway, because of the interpersonal relationships were very much based off of how most of the cast felt about William Shatner.
They all hate him. All,
especially T'Kai and all that, which that was fun to see too, like just basically being like, well, let's make it like Star Trek but in real life, like how the actors are, but then put them in real life space and make them go on a real space mission, and then maybe they come closer together at the end of it. If only that could have happened with the actual cast of Star Trek.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but William Shatner actually did go to Mars. I saw it on
Mission to Mars. Fox. That's right. That's
Mission
right.
Mission to Mars.
He went up there on that Ocean Blue thing. Yeah,
there's this reality series on Fox about like a bunch of celebrities from different reality shows who had to go live on Mars and like do. It was like Lance Armstrong and Schwartz from
Vanderpump.
Portia from one of the Housewives.
Yeah. And William Shatner. Oh, no, William Shatner hosted it.
Was the host. But eventually he got over there.
And
visit them.
Well, he got there on Bezos' ship.
Yeah, on Mars.
Because he did actually take the trip on Bezos' ship.
Well, but this one is a better one. That one only went into like the upper atmosphere.
Yeah, that was actually
on Mars.
Yeah.
Ariel Winter from Modern Family was in it. Guys, the show was amazing.
Oh, wow.
It sounds awful.
Ronda fucking Rousey?
Ronda Rousey went to Mars?
Really?
Went to Mars?
Wow.
Did they meet Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Marshawn Lynch? By the way, I love me some Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch is great.
Show.
Beast mode, baby.
He's so funny.
He's funny.
He's funny.
That's an American soccer player, by the way, Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leatherheaded soccer.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch. Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah.
It's clicked.
I know him from the American version of the celebrity British Bake Off and Life on Mars or whatever the hell that show it calls.
He's an interesting character. I remember at the Super Bowl, he was at the media day, like they kept asking questions, and all he would say,
"Yeah,
like, I'm just here so I won't get fined."
Yeah, 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 that's going that, his fined. Famous. Yeah, I'm just here so I don't get fined. I'm just here so I don't get fined. Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, the makeup, the character effects, the writing, like this movie is top fucking notch, guys.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Well, I wanted to say one more thing about, what was her name? Missy Pierce?
Missy Pyle.
Missy Pyle. My favorite, my most laugh out loud moment was when she didn't have her voice thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, so yeah. like she could, and then she just busts out with their native tongue or what it sounded like. Yeah. And I just was, yeah, I was like, how did she, like, it was so great because you like, I don't know. She's great because she's the one that plays the unibrow lady in Dodgeball, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so like everything
also in the Tim Burton Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, I didn't see that. But
she married a guy who was a bear trainer at one point up in like Utah.
It's in real life.
In real life, and like got married where a bear was their actual ring bear.
Man, that's so cool, dude.
Because she's awesome.
Oh, ring bearer.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, but
she's the artist. Yeah.
But yeah, like everything she's in, she's always doing some weird character thing, and like for her to just like for that to be the choice, and for her to actually be able to make that sound. I was like, how did she even do that? It had me busting out laughing. So I had to give shout outs to her for that. Yeah, that was just a great gag.
She's so funny, and she's always like, she's so pretty.
Yeah.
But like she always plays these like ugly, like she's got like features that like if you just like tweak a little bit of something,
right.
she could look like an alien.
She looks
you put her in
totally
the,
Russian.
Yeah, you give her the eyebrow and she looks like
No, and of course, so sex tentacles improves everything.
Oh, yeah. Hey, talk about it. Talk about alien pussy. Hey, that's what Shaloub was getting.
This is exactly why anime is getting so popular. It's all about sex
tentacles. There you go. And here come the DBZ drops.
Stop
with DBZ drops. Like you. Man sounds like you.
All right.
Shut up. What? Enough of this ridiculous babble.
Let's get on to some segments.
All right. So, do we have anything else that we want to talk about this film before we move on to closing it up? Martin?
Nope. I think we're good.
I mean, I highly, highly suggest this movie. Oh, you know, one thing that I did mention or want to mention is, did you recognize, Bryce, those weapons that the bad guys had? Those guns?
Yeah.
Those are literally the same guns with a different paint job from The Fifth Element with Gary Oldman.
Really?
Yeah, the one. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Fifth Element?
Yeah.
No, I did not notice that.
What's this button do? Yeah.
That's weird, wild stuff.
Weird, wild stuff.
I did not know that.
Didn't notice it.
I still really like that film.
The Fifth Element? Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Dope.
Oh, yeah, that's a banger.
Yeah.
Absolute banger.
God, it's
Bruce Willis.
Even though, like, some of the effects are kind of dated now, it's still rocks.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's still so good. Because, again, it's got a lot of, like, practical effects in it, too.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when it came out in, 1997, and I was renting PG-13 movies from Blockbuster, it had boobies in it. So, thank you, Fifth Element, for showing me boobs.
That's right. And Wild Things.
Well, I couldn't rip that. That was rated R. You know, it was like that.
And in this airplane. And in this one, we have tentacles.
Yeah.
Which made me even happier, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I can't wait to grow my tentacles. When do I get that? When do we learn about that in health class?
Pounding you might just be the therapy I need. He can't hit. He can hit you.
All right.
Don't laugh! Don't laugh!
Stop it. Okay. All right. All right. So let's go on to the numbers. Now, we like to go with domestic. Now, when we say domestic, Martin, it's U.S. and Canada. All right. So then we'll move on to the worldwide, and that will include you people over there. And I do mean you go people. all right.
Those British.
The budget for this film was estimated at $45 million.
It's outrageous. It really is.
It really is. So it opened on December 25th, Christmas. Do y'all have Christmas over there?
Okay. Yeah.
We get on. Yeah,
you're the ones
well.
That don't have Boxing Day for some reason.
Yeah, because we don't have servants. We do our own work.
Do you want to you might want to revisit that statement, Chase.
What?
America doesn't have servants?
No, we don't have servants. Not anymore.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Because we got rid of it because it was bad and shameful.
Yeah, okay, right.
Also,
right.
We didn't pay them. So they weren't servants. Okay. All right. And by we, I mean those people. Not us. Not we.
This isn't getting the any royal better. We. Yeah. This isn't getting any better.
All right. Opening weekend. Yeah. What did it make?
What's the matter with you?
Am I going to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
All right. I'm going to guess that it made $15
million. All right. You want to take a stab?
$15 million, did you say?
That was my guess.
I'll go 25.
He chose poorly.
It only opened to $7 million.
I should have known.
Yeah. Now, y'all have a second chance here to make up for your pathetic, pathetic showing. What was the domestic gross? Martin, you go first this time.
$40 million?
Okay.
I'm going to go under that. I think it probably only made $31.6 million.
You're crazy!
No. $71
million. Damn! 71. What? For real?
That was the domestic gross of this film. Yeah, it did really well.
Slow build.
It did really well. I mean, that's, you know, just under doubling its budget, so that's why it didn't like immediately get greenlit for a sequel.
Yeah.
You know, it's built a cult following from that. I mean, it made money. Nobody, you know, ate their lunch on it.
Yeah.
Now the gross worldwide, so that's including the 71 plus whatever the worldwide gross was, is what number? Let's see here, Bryce. I think you were closer on that, right?
No.
Okay. Well, then, Martin, you were closer, so why don't you try it?
Okay. I'm gonna go 160 million.
Okay.
$1 bomb. Dang it. Okay.
Even if you did, you know it at least made 71. So, like, he's already going to be closer to that number than you are.
Yeah, but if he's over...
The rest of the world burnt down theaters.
Not Price is Right rules. Fine. I'm going to say 152.7 million.
Ass butt.
Oh, God. I thought that was... absolutely dreadful.
90. Y'all both overshot it by a lot. 90.6.
Damn.
90.6. But
so, okay.
It came out, like I said, Christmas week or Boxing Day week.
Yeah.
As y'all said.
Yeah.
In 1999. It opened at number 7 on the domestic chart.
So it didn't even hit the top 5.
So it did not even hit the top 5.
What was the top 5 then?
Really? So our top 5 was a Al Pacino film, which we have not covered yet, but is it about American football?
Oh, The Replacements.
It is not The Replacements. Al Pacino, not Keanu Reeves.
Oh, I thought Pacino was... Oh, no, it's Any Given Sunday.
Any Given Sunday, yeah, right. Yes. Number 2 is a film that I have been wanting to rewatch quite a bit after seeing Saltburn. And this stars.
Any ideas there, Martin? What that would be?
Oh, Tom. No.
Oh, he's
talented, Mr. Ripley.
There it is, the talented Mr. Ripley.
Okay.
Yes, if you've seen Saltburn talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh yeah, I've heard.
What did you make of Saltburn?
I haven't seen it. I still haven't seen it.
Yeah. We're not going to say anything, but I loved it. I thought it was great.
No,
I
think spoilers.
I think there's parts of it where it's like, all right, let's back off a little bit, but.
It's one of those love hate movies.
Yeah, I think there were parts where
you love it or you fucking hate it.
Yeah. Did you love it or fucking hate it?
I loved it. Yeah.
Just there's probably a lot of people watching it that were going,
"What? You kissed him?" Is that
okay? Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
All right. Number 3 is. I'll tell you what. His name may be small, but he's got a big old heart.
His name may be small,
but he's got a big heart. So he may be small, but his name, okay. But yeah, and so is his name. But
his name is small.
He's got a big heart. No, his name may be small. His name's not small. And believe,
Is it titular?
It is titular. It is a children's movie.
It's Stuart Little.
It's Stuart Little.
So okay,
Stuart Little. Okay. Yeah. Very so good. any given Sunday opened to 13. Talent to Mr. Ripley opened at 12. Million. Stuart Little is in its third week and has dropped down from number one to number three with 11 million. It's pulled in almost 40. It's so good.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's so good. Okay. Can you just imagine this like couple that can't have children and they go to like adopt an orphan and they're like, oh, these orphans are so cute. Let's take the rat. That's the movie. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
And one of the best scenes is the model boat fight.
Yes.
The model boat battle on the pond. That's great.
Big scam.
Another children's movie that is in its fourth week. It's in its sixth week. And is now finally
this is number
dropped.
Four.
It is number four, but it is sitting at $177 million, pulling in another 10 this week. Is another animated film from Pixar.
Is it Fievel Goes West?
It is not Fievel Goes West. This is 1999.
Toy Story 2.
There it is.
Oh,
see, he's good at this.
Good call.
They literally remade that basically in like 6 months.
Yeah, which is
insane. We get on very well.
And then number five is a Stephen King that we have not done, but I think it's because you've seen it.
Stephen King in 1999?
Stephen King in 99.
The Matrix.
It is not The Matrix. <Just kidding.
laughs> Misery.
It's not Misery. Misery was 1991, I believe.
Or maybe Stephen King in 99. So it must
not one of his horrors. Horrors.
It's not one of his horror movies.
It's horror movies.
Was it big? It was
it's
big
horrifying.
Time. Was it big time?
It's horrifying in a way. Oh yeah, it's big. It pulled in 50. It's sitting at 50 million, 53 million. And it pulled in another 9 this week.
I don't know, Martin. I'm stumped here.
It's got one of the biggest stars to ever
Stephen
exist
King.
In it.
Tom Cruise.
Close.
No.
Bigger than Tom Cruise?
You're very close on the name in general.
Terry Crews.
I like where you're going there.
Oh, Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
The Green Mile.
It's the Green
of course.
Mile.
Oh,
the Green
yeah.
The Green Mile. Yeah. And then Galaxy Quest was number 7, but number 6 was Man on the Moon, the Jim Carrey picture about Andy Kaufman.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And just wrapping out that top 10, Bicentennial Man, which is a weird one. Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
Oh, man. Classic.
And the classic Anna and the King. So
boring.
Yeah, this is Christmas, guys.
Like, I just gave everyone insight into my movie knowledge and movie taste by calling Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo a classic and then saying boring when I heard Anna and the King.
Well, I do love the idea of like, let's take everybody, like, come on, kids, let's all get in the car. The parents will go see Talented Mr. Ripley and then also Deuce Bigelow, and we'll throw you kids at Toy Story 2,
yeah. Or the Green Mile.
Or the Green Mile. Yeah, the kids go see Green Mile. But you know, dad's going to Male Gigolo.
Wasn't Sam Rockwell in that too?
Green Mile? Yes, yeah. He was. Yeah.
That's right. But he didn't play the fucked up guy.
No, that was the guy from
that was Percy. He was in
X-Files.
X-Files, yeah. Right.
The Tombs.
Tombs, that's right. Yeah. Okay, anyway. Yeah.
So, that's neither here nor there.
But Sam Rockwell played the guy that jacked off and like...
Yes, yeah.
Threw his jack off.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect opportunity. Yes! Like, how did Christopher Nolan get this footage of me jizz? There we go.
Jizz by cum shot.
Exactly. We just did...
Martin is never coming back on the show. As soon as we log off, Martin's going to be like, I didn't sign anything.
What the fuck was that?
You're not allowed to release this.
Yeah, he's not even British. He's just like goes back into his America. It's like, boy,
those
fucking assholes. Wait, Martin, before we go here, before we give our rating and get out of here, can we play a game where I guess what region of England you're from based on your accent?
You can try, yeah.
Okay. because I want because I once there's
he thinks
a,
he's really good at it.
So there's a way. there was a really? British guy. I'll tell you the story later, but I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna say you're from the south of England. Yes.
That is correct.
Uh-huh. And you're probably...
I am 40 miles away from one of the best action films ever made.
Okay, so that doesn't make sense because you're talking about Die Hard, and that's in California. That was
definitely... British action films.
Okay, that sounds like an oxymoron, but yeah. We'll play. No, just kidding.
I basically live 5 minutes away where they shoot an awful lot of things around this very famous monument as well.
I was going to say Stonehenge. Is it Stonehenge?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is Stonehenge.
There you go. Nice. Yeah. So you're from Stonehenge. We found it. No, just kidding. Okay, cool. Well, then what town then? I feel proud just by knowing you're from the south of England.
I bet it is in Shire.
Yeah, is it a London suburb?
So the name of my city is also the name of a city, I believe, in North Carolina.
Charlotte.
That narrows it down.
Charlotte, yeah. No. Charlottesshire. You're from Charlottesshire.
One of the Carolinas.
Charleston.
No.
Wilmington.
Shire.
No.
Wilmington Shire. Yeah.
No.
The holiday.
Well, are you a suburb of London? Are you one of the Essex? Are you one of the sexes?
No, that's miles away.
Okay.
Wrong area of England. Right.
Okay.
That's southeast.
Wait, are you from fucking? You're not from Southampton, are you? Are you from
very
Hampton?
Close? Yeah, I'm from Salisbury.
Dude.
Oh, like the steak.
Like the steak. You should have just said steak and we would have got it immediately.
Oh, okay. Should have said like microwavable meal and we've been like Salisbury. Got it.
Salisbury Shire.
No, they filmed a classic British comedy action film 40 miles away in Wells.
Oh, okay. You're on okay.
Somerset.
Okay.
Was it Hot Fuzz?
Yeah, was it Hot Fuzz? Or
yes, that is correct.
Yes,
awesome. Hot Fuzz is so goddamn.
It's
good.
Great. It's so underrated over here.
I have
the
actual movie poster hanging in my in the other room.
I hope it's more popular over there than it is over here because it deserves way more attention over here.
Timothy Dalton, one of the underrated Bonds, or maybe R-rated Bond.
I love Timothy Dalton. Yeah, he's one of my favorite.
Very underrated actor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actor,
absolutely.
He's a lot of people say he's the most accurate like Bond from the
book.
I loved him as Bond when I would like watch the Bond movies as a kid.
Did he make three or four?
I think it was only like two.
Anyway,
right?
Like two?
Yeah.
Living Daylights and
that's right because
but didn't he also play a head Gallifreyan in Doctor Who? This is true, right?
Yes.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Bryce is a Whovian.
Yeah, I'm a Whovian.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Very much in the
Don't find many American Whovians. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it got big during the Matt Smith years, and that's when because they started, like, BBC started having its own channel over here, and it started getting really big over here.
I'm more of a Tenet guy, but cool. I also really enjoy Tenet's Hamlet, which a lot of people don't.
Matt Smith is my doctor just based on when I started getting into it, but I will say I do love me some David Tennant.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, come on.
Oh, and then we saw, you weren't there when Eccleston came to Comicpalooza.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, you saw that.
Yeah,
right?
I saw his panel. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, his panel was dope.
Yeah. And you get to see, if you watch
True Detective.
Yeah, right, you get to see him bang Jodie Foster.
I haven't gotten that far.
It's so good.
Yet. We're waiting on it.
Well, I'm not really ruining anything. Yeah. It's not really a big spoiler.
Yeah.
Christopher Eccleston bangs Jodie Foster? How dare you tell me?
That is extraordinary. That
Yeah. Whoa. Right. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, going at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
Yeah. Hey, doctor, I thought she was just your companion. What's going on here?
All right, so let's get that rating.
All right. Anyway. Oh, okay. Well, do you want... Well, I'll do the honors and kind of, I guess,
you'll
to
go
show...
First. Just...
All right, so then out of 10... actors, you know, because they're actors.
Yeah, I get it.
Don't say weak. All right, well, what would you say then? What would you say?
No.
Since mine is so weak, you give us yours and let's see how strong yours are.
This party is officially boring. I'm bored. And you people are very rude.
All right, fine. Out of 10 alien...
Why are you guys bullying me?
Out of 10 alien pussies, I give this movie 8 alien pussies.
So
I give it 8 alien pussies.
8 alien pussies?
We get on very well.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Martin.
Okay. I will go 8.5 Thermian sex tentacles.
Nice.
See, that's how it's done.
Hey, alien pussies is close enough, okay? What do you want? You know? You're just a perv, Chase. You just got something about them tentacles. You were talking about you can't wait to grow your own later. What was that?
It's got a bush? What the hell?
Oh, do you watch Think You Should Leave over there? Have you watched that?
Nope.
Do you have that?
You gotta get it.
I don't know if it's on your Netflix over there. If it is, you gotta watch it.
All right.
It might just be an American thing, but it's batshit.
It's a sketch
crazy.
Comedy show. Yeah. It's so good.
It's batshit.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, okay. That wraps it up. Are we going to do some reboot recap?
Just time for one more thing, a quick one. A
reboot recap.
So before we get into the reboot recast, just one more time, let everybody know where to find Filmverse Film Podcast.
Sure. So you can find us on anywhere you can get this podcast you're listening to now, on obviously Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. We're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, as I like to call it, at Film Versus Film Podcast, and FVF_podcast on Twitter. Yeah, that's where you can find us.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
So, check it out. It's a lot of fun. I did it, I guess, like 3 months ago. Yeah. I guess it was back in like October, September.
September, I want to say.
Yeah, September, yeah.
It was super fun. I am still waiting to get invited back, but after this episode, maybe I won't.
No, definitely.
Keep waiting.
Back. Now, next time Bryce has got to
come on
us
as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here, man. We're kind of wrapping it up a little bit just because we like to end on a big note with our reboot recast for most of the time. So let's jump right in, unless you have anything else to talk.
No, let's just do the big ones. Let's do Tim Allen.
Sigourney Weaver,
Alan Rickman. And I guess we can throw Sam Rockwell in there.
I mean, I would just put Sam Rockwell back in, like.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I would
put Tony Shalhoub back in.
I would put.
Like, why not?
I'd put Tim Allen back in.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, it's almost almost like it fits again. But
yeah.
if it weren't, like, who would be the right person for the Jason Nesmith, the Tim Allen?
Yeah.
Like, who is kind of the, who could play? I mean, you'd almost, it's a little on the nose, but Chris Pine.
Chris Pine,
right? Yeah. I know it's on the nose.
He kind of has this fake bravado thing going on as well,
but maybe. It works.
But he's also like, he gets it, and he is kind of funny in a lot of things. Like, if you've seen the new Dungeons and Dragons that he did,
it was fucking good.
Like, it was a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah, I think he would kill it.
Okay, that's good. I'm trying to think of like who, like if there's any comedians that could do it.
Yeah, or somebody, you know. Yeah,
Theo Vaughn.
Oh, you know Alan for the Alan Rickman.
Uh huh.
Well, Theo Vaughn would actually do Sam Rockwell's character. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how good of an actor Theo Vaughn would be. But
he doesn't have to be. He's just
that's true.
What are
he could do like, Shalhoub's character. Honestly,
oh, he actually could.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's old enough to
just,
play.
He could be
older.
Nonchalant enough about it, though. You know, where he's just kind of
half the idea is that they're aged out, right? And I think Theo Vaughn is like our age. So, like, if he was going to play anybody,
Theo's
have
like,
to be the
Theo's
the,
10
the
years
Tommy,
older than us.
The Tommy Weber.
Nah, Theo, he just looks our age. He's 10 years older than us.
He takes such good care of himself.
I mean, well, he is sober, you know?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I would say Theo Vaughn for Shalhoub.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad. So, what about Alan Rickman? Do we want to keep it British And if we did, absolutely. Who would we pick? Martin, I'm going to take this part from you. So who's another like great British actor that we're not thinking of that hasn't already like left your country and come over here where they actually can make some money instead of
Benedict Cumberbatch? Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
God, that's it.
Possibly.
That's it.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
I think that's it.
That is pretty much it.
Yeah.
I mean, that is
and
like
it's also on the nose because he was Khan in fucking that one Star Trek.
It is.
Yeah.
That movie, which is.
It's not the best.
It's not great.
Yeah.
Which is why it's funny that him
and Pine would be together again. There you
it's
go.
So, I mean, like, it's so hard to recast Alan Rickman, though.
Of course.
I really like him, I don't think.
Uh-huh. Well, I think if they were going to redo it, they'd have to, like, kind of restart. You know,
Benedict
be a different character.
Benedict is pretty close to it, though.
I have it, though. I have it. Right. So the reboot.
Haley Joel was.
No. The reboot of this movie is about the reboot of this movie, and then those of this TV series. The way that like Star Trek with.
Just cast everybody again.
But no. Like the Star Trek with Pine is a remake of the original series of Star Trek, right?
Yeah,
you know, he played Kirk and everything like that.
Uh-huh.
This would be after this has all happened, and the show has become even more popular after 20 something years.
Okay, of being old. So it really is just a straight up reboot.
They
of
remake
Galaxy Quest.
The movie. No. They not the Galaxy Quest, but the Galaxy Quest show. Like we're still in the universe of the movie, right? And so after, like, instead of getting instead of abducting the actual people from the original series, like they did the first time, the people who have made the new movie while they're shooting the new movie. Yeah. So it's like Chris Pine playing Tim Allen's Jason Nesmith, right? Or playing Jason Nesmith, right? It's Benedict Cumberbatch playing the Alexander Dane character. You know, like
Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg would be a good Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah.
That would
well, and that works too because he plays Scotty.
We're just using that.
I think we figured it out. Like, I think we cracked the code.
For the Sigourney Weaver character, like Catherine Waterstone or Noomi Rapace, because they were in the
Alien. Movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know what that word means.
Would be good.
Yeah, but then who plays?
She's got some comedy chops. Sorry,
I've never seen her do comedy, but she's always so good.
It would have to be Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana?
Yeah, Zoe Saldana. Whatever.
Yeah.
So to go along with the theme, you know.
Well, but no, the theme is that we don't have to. It just so happened that those are the only British people I know.
Yeah. Well, but Zoe Saldana played the woman who repeats what the computer says. You know?
Yeah. Well, no, that was
Zoe Saldana playing Uhura,
the blonde girl that didn't really get to do much.
No, Uhura's character is the one that repeats what the computer says.
Oh yeah. Who? What was the name of the girl I'm thinking of?
Yeoman, whatever.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. You are thinking of what was her name? Yeoman, something. The blonde chick in the original series.
No, not in the original series. Oh. In the reboot with Chris Pine.
Man, I don't know.
Oh,
I know. Right now we feel.
Oh, I know who it was. Haley Joel Osment now nom in space. That's fine. Cross the Street Media.
Thanks for listening to The Movie Gap on the Cross the Streams Media Network.